Welcome to Universal Talk. Today we have another special teleconference for our listeners. On today's show, we ponder the question, what would happen if we took four individuals with a higher awareness and brought them together to discuss global healing? Let's present the case. First, we must consider the events around the globe that could be considered a less than homeostatic planet at this time. What if certain parts of the planet had lower vibrational energies by virtue of the lifestyles people lived, such as greed and poverty, and by the thoughts they carried? What if Mother Earth had to cleanse herself through natural ways such as earthquakes, hurricanes, and floods to get rid of this dis-ease to her body, the way humans have a surgeon cut out the dis-ease of their bodies? What if by raising the vibrational frequency through a gathering and with focused intent, the magnitude of these cleansings could be reduced or be avoided altogether? Let's welcome our panel of guests on the show to discuss this very thing. Alfred Weber, Ramona von Eyre, and Laura Eisenhower. Welcome to Universal Talk.
Hi there.
Thank you, Joe.
Hello, thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
How is everybody tonight?
I'm doing good.
Great.
That's great.
Okay, so let's start off with Laura this week. Do you feel that through focused intent and a number of individuals come together, some or all of these cleansings could be avoided? I mean, is there a potential for total harmony on this planet?
Yes, there is. There is a lot of different factors, though, that are involved because of the use of negative technologies and things like HARP. But with our collective awareness and unity, we can resolve these issues because the effect that the grid can have on our collective awakening can help to start to deactivate. In a sense, what I'm saying is there's a backlash, a cosmic backlash. Actually, Alfred and I were talking about this last night, that justice and love is a law in the universe. And when enough of us awaken, it's sort of like it allows the scales to kind of, you know, not only balance, but all the wrongs that have been done naturally get sort of everything landing on them. One could call it karma, but it's kind of a natural law that's just in nature. And different practices, different religions, different spiritual disciplines, you know, explain it in their own way. The more inner transformation that happens, the less outward destruction. When we allow destruction to become a force within ourselves, you know, knocking down barriers, obstacles, resistances, issues, ancestral patterns, we're less likely to see something come along and shake us up for us to awaken. And this is the nature of also illness that we were talking about on our last show, where when we listen to the symptoms and we talk to the pain, it's actually the wisdom of our body alerting us. So when we can see the outward, the external world teach us and show us where we're not internally doing the work, then we can counteract those sort of lessons and start to focus inwardly on where we're not really stepping up to the plate of what we truly are. And so unity consciousness, expanding one's consciousness to all dimensions and life forms, and really connecting with the whole kind of cosmic body, earth body, and the depths of our own beings, when we can really be in touch with all of that, then we can handle how to balance them. If we shut off a certain dimension or a certain reality and we refuse to accept it or not even have an open mind to it, then we're not able to find a way to harmonize it in ourselves. And then we have to confront it on the outside as well. So unity consciousness helps us to appreciate the diversity, first off. To me, unity is about the wholeness of diversity coming together in a harmonic way. And when we can appreciate that, have an open mind, come together and see how we're all interconnected, and we're all God, Goddess, we carry that blueprint, then all these other external forces that are trying to snap us out of our amnesia will cease. And of course, like I said, we have to also deal with the negative technologies and the mimicking agendas that have used technology as a tool to kind of give us this false matrix, false God, false identity of what we're dealing with, and it'll naturally help dissolve that.
Great. Rama, what do you think?
Can you repeat the question again?
Sure. Do you feel that through focused intent and a number of individuals that come together for that intent, that the cleansings that Mother Earth is doing for herself could either be lessened or avoided. In other words, would there be more potential for total harmony on this planet?
Okay, so, alright, so there's two different aspects to this that I'd like to address. Okay. One is you're saying, can we mitigate potential outcomes such as massive earthquakes and, you know, flooding and widespread destruction of the surface of the planet? You're saying if we all pray and sort of harmonize our intent, can we avoid that, right?
Yes.
But then there's also just the general question of if we all work together as a team, can we help the planet? Can we help heal the planet? So, I mean, those are... So, I want to make a clear distinction between... There's the idea that the cleansing of the planet physically could be a bad thing, but then there's the fact that it could just be a necessary thing that there's no other solution for. So the vibrations that exist on the planet could be joyful and harmonious while she is cleansing herself, if that is what she needs to do. So if the question is, can we as a collective improve the future of the planet? Yes, that's absolutely true. Can we as a collective prevent widespread destruction of the surface of the planet? Yes, if that's the optimal future, we can. But if the optimal future for the planet is to cleanse and to release all the toxicity that is weighing her down for the sake of her own survival, then that's what has to happen. But it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to occur in a way that is harmful to those that chose to stay in alignment with the planet. So we can mitigate things that are supposed to be mitigated, but if the highest good of all is for her to cleanse herself, then we can't. So it depends on what is the highest good for everyone involved, and that depends on the actions of all the people on the planet. So can we change the future of the planet away from a destructive future? We can, if that's what's best. But one thing's for sure, no matter what the future of the planet is supposed to be, we can contribute our little piece to make sure that the final outcome, the final future of the planet is as wonderful as possible. And whatever that will end up being, I don't know necessarily. And I can't say what exactly the future of the planet should be. All I know is that if you focus within your own being and you heal your body and your higher levels of being, then you are contributing to the best possible outcome, whatever that is supposed to be.
Wonderful. Alfred, what do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, I found that my perspective was really enhanced by reading the four books by a friend of mine who's a telepath for the Arcturians. And the Arcturians have a series of motherships around our planet, some of which are as large as a planet, according to these books. And what the Arcturians say that they do, among other things, is that they are in charge of balancing the grid of the planet, not in charge, but that's one of their special focuses, so that they are here, and one of their main tasks and why they are here is that the collective thoughts of the human race create so much fear and negative vibrations that they have to be constantly filtered and pumped out with light so as to keep the light grids balanced so that the planet won't implode and go into, you know, termination and have all these imbalances. So that the Arcturians are already doing that, and we have this ecology. We have this standing ecology from the dimensional ecology, which is using a huge amount of technology to filter our negative thoughts. It's like we're creating this huge sewer, and we have to have this sewer treatment plant of the galaxy with enormous, you know, motherships here just filtering our negative thoughts. And that's kind of what the situation is. So we're now in a transition from this sort of fear-oriented cycle, where some people say that that, you know, we've had these dimensional civilizations predating on us and causing us to go into fear. So that, for example, the Pakistan floods that just put 20 million people into homelessness and despair, those were not due to any cyclical factors, not even the BP oil spill, which was itself a false flag operation, which has affected the Gulf Stream, which has thrown the North Atlantic current out, which would have affected the world's weather so much that there would have been some effect in Pakistan and in Russia. That was probably most due to HARP. And so all the negativity and fear that was created by these 20 million people in Pakistan is being harvested by these negative entities. So this is part of the dimensional reality and dimensional ecology in which we live. And part of the upper dimensionals is technological, or by using their own powers to filter out our sort of gook, our fear stuff and our fear pictures, because thoughts are things. So now, given that larger kind of framework, as Laura was saying, we're now shifting over to the positive timeline as a system, because the singularity at the core of our universe is now shifting over to emitting consciousness waves of enlightened unity consciousness. So that means it's like out with the old, in with the new, which means that, you know, that's what we're going to be producing, is thoughts of enlightened unity consciousness eventually now. And either people are with that and producing that, or they're in resistance to that, but they can't be in resistance to that too long, because it's impossible for an organism in resistance to that to survive for very long in this universe, no matter what the dimension. So this is just in the natural order of things, because we're coming into a new epoch, a new cycle, a new turn of the cosmic, you know, play and of the cosmic infrastructure. Yes, we are going to be shifting out of the creating all of the thoughts of war, disease, crime, and poverty. Those entities that have been preying upon us through a corrupt elite, using the HARP technology, using, you know, all of these kind of fourth, third dimensional stuff to make everybody create all this garbage so that they can feed on it, is, you know, we're in a transition out of that. And so now our task is to create as big a wave of people and consciousnesses out of the catastrophic timeline, out of the negative timeline of fear, into the positive timeline of light and expectation and life and growth and creativity and wonderfulness. And that's occurring. I mean, that's going with the tide of exactly what is happening. That process is accelerating. So that's the process that we can call global healing. And we're part of the healing mechanism, because we're that part of Gaia, which, you know, gets to talk about doing that process and has a lot of light to shift that way. Although, you know, you have to say that the animals and the plants are even more psychic than we are and telepathic than we are in many different cases and have much more light. So, you know, we are striving to move up into, it's really odd. It's like the human kingdom is striving to move up into where the animal and the plant kingdom already is.
You know, it's so amazing that the correlation that you just put with that, because in my awareness, like the animal and the plants, you would think that because they're at a different dimension, and I would not say that they're worse or anything, but I think they're more, I mean, they're obviously in 3D, but I look at the humanity as having a higher awareness and therefore should be in a higher dimensional plane. But because we were so bogged down with the material world and stuff, if you will, like nature lives in simplicity. So I think they are just simply tapped in. And it's funny that here we are supposed to be the higher knowing individuals or beings on this planet. And like you just said, the animals and plants are the ones that are really the ones that are tapped in. The next thing I'd like to say here is maybe a different concept, to go into a different concept about Mother Earth. If we would happen to have our intent and come together and the energies that flow through us to help Mother Earth, would she use less of her life force in cleansing herself, and would she become more healthy due to humanity coming together to help her? Rama?
So, if I can ask for clarification on this question, when you say cleanse herself, are you talking about what she does on a daily basis to maintain her vital functions?
Yes.
Or are you, okay, you're not talking about some cataclysmic series
of
events.
Well, either or. Basically, okay. What I'm saying is if we give her our energy, or using ourselves as channels to channel energy to her, regardless if it's the day-to-day cleansing or the significance of her having to create hurricanes for really dense, low vibrational parts of the planet, would this assist her so she doesn't have to use so much of her life force or her energy? Would she be more healthy?
Okay, so this sounds to me basically like, you know, there's this concept of a certain amount of life energy that runs the human body, and it has different names in different traditions. In Sanskrit, they call it prana. People call it life force in modern metaphysics. You know, they have different names for this stuff. That's just this life energy of the human body. And you're saying, well, if we supply our vital force to aid the planet, does that give her basically a transfusion of energy that she can use to her advantage?
Right.
Okay, well, the answer is yes. Yeah, but, you know, I suppose you might want some clarification or further explanation of that. How exactly do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to have it for yourself. So the very first step in participating in a project of planetary healing is to heal yourself. You cannot help Mother Earth with something that you don't have. So you have to cultivate an abundance of energy within your own being. That involves proper diet, sufficient sleep, proper exercise on a daily or at least very frequent basis, and as well as deep techniques of internal healing. You must have an abundance of energy within your own being, and then you're in a position to offer something to Mother Earth. You have to understand how your own body works. You cannot help the planet until you understand how your body works, because your body and the planetary body work the same way. So true understanding of self-healing leads automatically to understanding of planetary healing. I've been doing planetary healing for practically since I was born, not consciously, but ever since I was 15, I've been doing it consciously. And so I've been working intensively with the planet, and the only way I know how to help the planet is by studying my own body and studying nature, learning how I work, learning how the unit works, and then expanding it to the planetary level. Even though your body and the planet look rather different, they operate on the same fundamental code of life. This is the same code that's operative in every atom, every sun, the galaxy as a unit, the solar system as a unit, the whole creation as a unit, a bacterium as a unit. It's the same code of life at every level. So as you understand your own body and you heal your own body, you have proof that you have the ability to help the planet. So heal yourself, benefit yourself, and then, yes, as you understand the science of the body and the nature of your body, then you can look at the planetary body and see what's going on inside of her body and see exactly what to tweak, what energy she needs. Oh, I've seen that pattern in my body. This is how I healed it in me. Whenever you find something within your own being, and you heal it in your body, you can then heal it in her. So it's not just about supplying a certain amount of life energy to her. You need to understand the patterns that are going on within her body. We can't just blindly throw light at the situation. That's what a lot of people think is a viable method. You have to understand the patterns that are transpiring within her body, or the patterns will not just end. They'll just keep repeating, and the energy will just keep getting funneled into the wrong direction. So you have to actually heal yourself. You have to actually understand yourself, and then you're in a position to really help the planet. Because the patterns that are going to manifest in you are patterns that are also manifesting in the planet. And many of the patterns that are manifesting in you are manifesting because you're on the planet. So as you heal things in yourself, in your own little microcosm way, then you can expand it to the planetary level, which is some degree of a macrocosm, at least relative to your body. So you see patterns, you heal them in yourself, and then you can pass the healing energies to the planet. And that's the kind of healing light that we need. We need to actually resolve the issues, the core tendencies that Mother Earth is currently being a vessel for, so that they're finally resolved, and we never see them anywhere in creation ever again. These fundamental illusions or wrong ways of living or incorrect ways of thinking, or greater methods of beauty. We can optimize patterns too. If you see a pattern that's working very well in your body and you make it even greater and it helps you, say to Mother Earth, hey mommy, maybe you just need more brain and nervous system lightening. You know, maybe you just need more orange. Maybe you just need more stomach power. Maybe you just need to make your stones, your rocks, your bones a little bit stronger. You can enhance patterns too. So you have to really get to the core of the issue. You can't just throw light at it. You have to figure out what is going on. Why is this pattern existing in my life, in my body, and therefore also in the planet? And then you heal it in yourself and then the planet.
Okay, Alfred.
Yeah, what just popped into my mind is that is sort of the cosmology of planets. And this is an area in which the science, I think, is still to be developed. And I'm not quite sure. I mean, first of all, I just have to say that Rama really covered a great deal. And so I agree with what Rama said, and I just want to bring in another dimension of planetary health and sort of planetary status, and that is the role of planets in the cosmos. And it's kind of like the role of individuals in the cosmos. And although from a physical scientist point of view, like a 3D scientist, all planets might look alike. I mean, you know, they'll say, oh, well, this is a gaseous giant, and this is, you know, a verdant planet, and this is this type, and this is that type. But it's essentially just a 3D world out there. And they're all essentially equivalent, except they have various different states of matter, and they've been around a little bit longer, and they developed in different ways. But it's all pretty much the same, you know, one size fits all, and, you know, essentially that's it. Whereas the reality, especially when one goes into the different parts of the multiverse, one part of the multiverse in the typology that I developed is not only is composed of a dimensional ecology, and this is actually an evidence-based dimensional ecology. We're using the scientific method with evidentiary data. And so one part of it is what I've termed preliminarily the exopolitics dimension. And that is what we normally know as the physical universe that we see, but also the parallel universes and all the dimensions, all the extraterrestrials that we can ever think of. That is anything that a soul would want to incarnate into and, you know, even think of. And then there's other dimensions that are part of the dimensional ecology but are still part of the multiverse that have been thought of as kind of out there and not connected to the multiverse, and that's the spiritual dimensions, but are actually part of the multiverse. And the spiritual dimensions are inhabited by spiritual beings and soul civilizations. It's where souls are created and where souls inhabit in the interlife period or the afterlife period. And there's great civilizations and soul civilizations, and there's divine beings, civilizations, and that's in the spiritual dimensions, and all of it is part of the multiverse. So with regard to the function of individual planets do not have the same valence, do not have all the same valence in the multiverse. For example, because individual planets are sort of like human incarnations, and this particular planet that we're on, Gaia, there may be, you know, various statuses that we're still trying to find out about, but one particular status is in terms of its identity in a series of what we can call exchanges or processes between various groups in the multiverse. Let's call one group good and let's call the other group evil. I mean, just for purposes of identification. And that's been handed down to us, like in some of the sacred texts, like the Book of Genesis and the Garden of Eden. And so, one version of the Garden of Eden that has been remote viewed and found to be, it might be valid, is of Adam and Eve being essentially extraterrestrial colonists or settlers on the planet, but not only extraterrestrial, quasi-spiritual beings. In other words, there's a way that the multiverse, when it works well, is a place for raising souls or developing souls in a way where the physical universe could be a lot like the interlife, not like we have it here. And so this planet may be a very special planet because we've had all sorts of like universe civil wars here. We've had all sorts of incarnations of special divine beings here who've come in and kind of anchored situations. Like you could say that like the incarnation of Christ as sort of a creator god here, if that is valid, I'm just kind of putting it out there, is part of a reclaiming of this planet back into the divine zone. And so there's a lot dimensionally that's going on this planet than just simple healing. It's healing, but on a huge dimensional level, not only from an ecological standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, in terms of the creation process and the deep values of good and evil and God versus desolation. And so the maintenance of a spiritual attitude and the feeding of deep divine light and substance into the planet is as necessary as the feeding of healthy water, air, and non-polluting soil into the biospheric levels.
Okay. So, Laura, with kind of dovetailing into what Alfred is saying, with your knowledge of the astrology, with the different planets maybe carrying different frequencies of energy, how would you associate, like, the energies that come from other planets towards Gaia, as far as helping her cleanse herself and vice versa. Maybe her sending energies to the other planets that are by the frequency she carries. Does that make a difference in, like, for instance, right now we're going through this Mercury retrograde. So I know personally I've noticed the difference. So does it make a difference on a bigger scale than just each human individual? Would it make a difference as far as each planet and where they are in location to the cosmos?
Yeah, I mean, everything in the universe and on Earth is all working together. We have a relationship with everything in the cosmos and every dimension, every planet. Right now, being on this particular one, from many other dimensions and galaxies and planets, I mean, we're from everywhere. I've hidden documents from Eve herself, so she says, who has been carrying an orb to keep her alive for thousands of years, specifically given to my particular frequency through somebody else. And she did say she comes from a different planet, and pretty close to what Alfred said, and that this elixir of life that's made of all these different ingredients have kept her alive in order to be able to kind of do something particular. And I can show all of you the document later. Just to read with an open mind, it's never been published. So basically, there is something going on that is very much about the wheel of the zodiac and how it has influence on our lives. We're born with a specific recipe or combination of planetary alignments, which is our natal chart, and then the way that the transits and what the planets are doing right now, how it kind of affects each person individually based on their particular code. Deeper than that is a divine blueprint, though. Deeper than that is something beyond the wheel of necessity. This zodiac is what kind of creates time, and it's kind of ruled by the restoration of the tree of life. The necessity is that we go through different trials and tribulations and we understand the shadow side of different forces in order to manifest its highest potential. As I was talking about in one show, you know, like the planet Neptune, it's the mystical planet. It connects one with, you know, spiritual concepts. It's ruled by water. It's very much about astral travel and really being mystical. But then the shadow side is addiction, escapism, depression, and, you know, planets like Mercury are about intelligence, using the mind, communication. And if it's afflicted, you know, it can be, you know, a challenge communicating or an attack on one's communication abilities. And, you know, we have an archonic system that comes from source energy, which is responsible for the false matrix. It's what the biblical God, Yahweh, claims to be the true God, and there's no God before him. Well, that's forgetting about Sophia, forgetting about Christ Sophia, the divine pair. And that's sort of the conditions of Eden are about the beginning of that total rulership, when in Sumerian times, a lot of the archetypal dramas were happening. And then this sort of new world, you know, kind of came about. It was sort of a whole new expression where the Shekinah, you know, was established, whereas before it was about Inanna going into hell to retrieve all her aspects. Now it's like, okay, here we got Lilith, then we have Eve, and then the Shekinah comes later to keep incarnating. So we have all these different things. We have this sort of off-planet, as above, so below thing happening. All these kind of strange archetypal issues going on. And then we have us on Earth, and it's like, well, how are the two connected? This also exists within our soul. We have the responsibility to connect to all these different forces, understanding that the way we choose to embody ourselves and express ourselves has a lot to do with the way these games are being played out. So if everybody's kind of feeding the archonic system and the false system and this lower God that has the archetypes that are connected to perhaps Seth and Samuel and, you know, some of these other ones that can be reintegrated into source, you know, then we're basically starving Mother Earth, using fear and negativity and draining her in a way, because we're all connected. We're connected to Gaia. And because it's captured and used by the Archons to give them power, because fear is what they thrive on, that's the reason that the Bible is created out of, you know, the New Testament. I don't even know, because I don't even read the Bible, but I know enough about it to know that there is that element of the punishing God and the fact that God should be feared and that it's separate. And that's enough. That's all I need to know. I'm more, you know, clued into the Gnostic texts and the ones that really understand Sophia and what the Archon, lower creator God, alien races are all about. The lower races, not the higher races. So how this all affects us is that we go through these cycles. We connect with kind of our planetary blueprint, you know, what we're born with, you know, whether we're a Gemini or a Libra or an Aries or a Taurus. And then we have the transits, which what we're dealing with right now. We've got, you know, Mercury retrograde. We've got, you know, Pluto still retrograde for a little bit longer. We've got these grand crosses and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. Uranus is the planet of breakdowns and breakthroughs and lightning and shocking change. So nothing this is where we have to be humble and realize none of us have all the answers. Something will shake us up because we're in a creative process, and it's about creative freedom. And we're carving our way into the future that is not set in stone. What we're trying to get out of is the wheel of necessity and the wheel of karma that puts us in these cycles of having the choice to break free. So the shadow side of these planets is that we're sort of imprisoned in the shadow side, which is similar to the archonic world. And when we can utilize the positive aspects, the strengthening aspects, you know, where Mercury is about communication and intelligence, and Libra is about sacred union and partnerships, Virgo is about, you know, being meticulous to detail and understanding nature and how the plants, you know, all hold a vibratory healing code to help us regenerate and restore ourselves. And when we can really utilize what the strengths are of these planets, then we begin to fall out of the shadows and step into the divine blueprint, the multidimensional nature of things. And around 2012 is when it's all culminating to kind of help us break free of this wheel that we're in and restore the tree of life, which is all about the roots, the earth, and the upper world, all functioning as one organism. So the physical body is a microcosm of the larger. When we can restore this all within ourselves and we can balance, you know, what I have said in the past, underworld, which is not hell. It's the womb. It's the mother womb. It's just regeneration, restoration, renewal, creativity, and power. And we can have those roots feed the tree that's receiving sun from the heavens. Then we are a restored tree, and we understand the union between masculine and feminine. The whole world of duality is based on the tree of good and evil, based on the shadow side of the planets, based on the archonic system. And the whole reason that we kind of go through these cycles of the zodiac is because we're given free will and choice through trial and error, through previous agreements that we have to come into this incarnation and either get it or not get it. But we'll eventually get it. We're just all moving at different speeds. So, you know, the reason shamans use animal spirits and the reason we once were able to shapeshift during times where the patriarchal forces were not completely running the show is that we are stepping into that higher frequency that animals and plants understand. And when we get beyond that and we really understand that, like, you know, Christ Sophia, even though Sophia's morphed into the physical planet, she's beyond that. She's also Venus. She's also the cosmic mother. And same with all of us. I mean, we're earthly beings, but we have to realize that, like, we've been all over the place, and we're just kind of choosing this particular realm to kind of get it straight so that we can lift these veils and really enjoy the cosmic adventure that awaits us. And sure, we can leave, we can astral travel, we can do this and that, but we've committed to having a physical body to go through a certain level of cycles in order to make an imprint onto the universe that we have broken free of some level of a cosmic parasitic system that wants us to be enclosed in a sort of incubation period that we can see as a womb that's birthing us again, or see it as something that's going to swallow us whole. And so the original question that I just wanted to touch upon, does Mother Earth need us in order to heal? She most certainly does. I mean, I carry this frequency strong, and every day I am thrown down, drained, in tears, pissed off. And so, I mean, this is an everyday thing, and it has been basically my whole life, and it's not getting better. It's getting better because of you guys and the support and this and that. And I'm one of many women that, you know, are very sensitive and in touch with carrying, you know, such a high Gaia Sophia frequency to the point where the shadow government recognizes me. I'm having a hell of a time. And basically the times where it's particular astrological alignments that a lot of power is supposed to be anchoring into the earth, these ritualistic dark agendas, these, you know, people are doing sacrifices and black magic, they capture that energy and they use it. And it's part of our fear. It's a part of the manipulation of particular times on the grid. And they just capture it and they take it away. And times that I feel my power coming back, it's almost like stolen. I can just feel it robbed. And then I'm even more tired and I'm just like so upset. And it channels through my relationships even, because it's a program that isn't just about mind control. It's an ancestral pattern that we've been carrying for a long time that stems from a mind control program. But it's beyond just being chipped and being targeted at this point. It's in our genetics. So we need to freaking wake up, because she does need our help, because we're existing on this planet and we're either parasites if we don't get it, or we're, you know, Shaktis and Shivas, and we're in the creative dance that is leading to an incredible future if we can just awaken. Because, you know, She will overcome, but her unconditional love is what's keeping her here. She can create a new Earth. She can go to a higher dimensional planet. There's plenty of Earths, plenty of other dimensions. She walked all throughout all of it, and I spent a whole childhood traveling through it all, so I know it's there. But it's extremely important that we awaken and assist her, because it's either major cataclysms and purging that'll reduce the population, or it's HARP that's going to do it. And either she's going to have to walk away into another dimension and watch this place get destroyed by the wrong people, or we're going to be a part of the healing process and have the purging be an organic process, or we can be in unity consciousness right now and just deal with it right now and prevent all sorts of crap, whether it be organic or not.
Great. I really think it's important for us to talk about, you know, some of this duality and each side of it. And not that we're giving credence to a negative side, but if you don't have the awareness of it, you don't know, you can't raise to the next level, in other words. I really think it's important to discuss it because we are living it in a three-dimensional way, and there's a lot of people from different soul growths that have to know about these types of things that we're all talking about to raise to the next level so we can get on that positive timeline and think the more positive. But without knowing the specifics, that how would you know to get out of that particular situation? And it kind of leads into my next question about variables and external forces. And I know Laura and Alfred have spoken a little bit on each one of these, so I'm going to yield the floor to Rama. But what I'd like to know, Rama, what do you think about, are there other variables than what we just talked about, such as, you know, the weather wars that are going on or manipulation of weather, just so people know that, you know what, if we all came together in one particular intent and not everything's perfect, is there other variables that prevent the perfect harmony right here, right now? I'm not talking about the future where everything's a positive timeline, because I think that's where we're headed. But are there other reasons that could prevent this perfection at this particular time, such as the technology that is being abused, or, you know, even on a positive note, the external forces such as the star people that are out there that are actually sending us love and energy?
Yeah, well, I'm very glad you asked that question, because that is a topic I very much want to address. Because out there on the internet, you read a lot of info that can make you feel very small and disempowered in comparison to some sort of very large worldwide global political game that seems to be going on behind the scenes, and you don't really seem to have much say. But I would love to shift that whole perspective and help you to realize the following. The laws of the universe are upheld, and you have all the support that you need if you properly tap into it and just process your own personal load of thoughts and emotions. So there are very powerful, very wonderful forces out there assisting this process that is occurring on the planet, and there has been a dwindling away of all forces of opposition that are also larger than just the humans of planet Earth, including people from other worlds who didn't always have the best intentions, including people on the planet with lots of money and power who didn't always have the best intentions. They've all been whittled away. There are no ETs participating in what's going on this planet in a non-positive way anymore. I personally helped to resolve a lot of the difficulties with the Greys and the Reptilians. That was resolved. Reptilians were resolved years ago. The Greys were also resolved a year or two ago, or maybe a little bit more than that now. We don't have ET interference anymore. We did at one point. We don't anymore. So the information out on the internet is outdated, in my opinion. This is all my opinion and my experience. Feel free to have your own viewpoint. But I'll just share my perspective, and because that's what Joe's asking me. In my opinion, because I've personally been interacting with all these planetary forces for a very long time, I have witnessed that in recent times there was a dwindling away of all opposition from extraterrestrials that had not so positive intent. Now, the only ETs engaged in this planetary environment in any dimension are positive. And even the ones who did wrong have just basically left and have... They couldn't really fix the mess they made because they made such a big mess, but they were just said, okay, why don't you just go now and let us handle this? Let the forces of love and joy and harmony handle this. So there are physical people from other worlds assisting to hold this planet together, and the structures of this world that should have fallen apart a long time ago have actually been upheld by these good forces, the good people of other worlds, who have been working with people on planet, in the behind the scenes, in the governments. So there, we don't really have one government right now on the planet. You know, we don't have one government or one media with one perspective. We have an internal revolution occurring within the governmental systems of the world, and it's being backed by the people from the other worlds who have the technology and the methods of getting money to support this positive movement of goodness within the governments. So even the opposition from powerful individuals on the planet who had lots of money and not always the best intent, even they have been dwindled away. The only opposition left, in my opinion, is the people themselves, which has proven to be the final barrier to the golden age is, in fact, the people themselves. So in my opinion, the answer to your question is no, there are no external forces that are of a non-positive sort that have any power at this point in any dimension. I've personally worked with the angels of heaven like Archangel Michael and Sananda to clean up the astral plane and the higher planes of this world. There are no forces or entities or energies that can interfere with humans that are left in this sort of interdimensional environment of this planet. The only place where these sort of ideas remain is within people themselves. Unfortunately, the thoughts of people are quite capable of haunting them and creating in their imagination this idea that there's all this interdimensional battle going on. But I have not observed any of this occurring. I have not seen any of it happening in any of these higher planes. The only place I see it happening is within the minds of the people. And of course, it's encouraged by the TV, radio, internet, movie theater, and all these industries. There's this sort of internal miasm, this internal deluded realm that people are stuck in, such that they think the whole universe around them has these entities and energies that are opposing them. But I don't find they exist. Neither myself nor the angels can find it. It's only within the people. And so the final barrier to the shifting of this world drama is the healing of the people themselves. These people were influenced at one time by many external forces, but all those forces have been kept at bay now. The only issue now is the healing of the people. So the final frontier, the final victory, and the final barrier is, in fact, personal healing, individual healing. And this comes back to my fundamental point. The laws of the universe are upheld. If you heal yourself, all of the perception of external drama and war will go away. It will go away. Even if you still see around you things going on that you perceive to be violent, when the internal war ends, you no longer perceive it around you. And then the only future you're contributing to on the planet is a joyful, positive one. We can't wait for the world to become harmonious. You have to become harmonious within yourself, and then you're living in a world of harmony and beauty and joy. And as you live in that world, that is the world that you are basically becoming a proponent for, a champion for, and then you encourage that for the whole planet. People need to realize that you live in the world of your own making, and I do mean that even here in this very physical dimension. You live in the world of your own making. You choose the world that you participate in. See only the goodness and the beauty and the joy in life. This doesn't mean that you're blind to a car that is coming down the road. You have to step out of the way or you get run over. I'm not suggesting ignorance of things that you need to be aware of, but you can frame everything in a beautiful context. Oh, if I step out of the way of that car, I'll be able to continue living and make myself even more beautiful. You're not agitated with the person who's driving the car. You're not getting mad at them. You may seek justice and say, hey, this person needs to not harm other people. This person was driving carelessly. You may do all kinds of physical things that are considered very reasonable, common sense, and important things to do, but your whole attitude is one of joy and beauty. You can do everything that everybody else does in this world in an entirely beautiful way, and therefore do a lot of things people don't do. So we live in the world of our own making, and we want to change this world. And your question is, are there external influences that are affecting the people on the planet and preventing them from having a joyful outcome? And my answer is no. The only forces left at this point are internal, within the people, but people think that these forces are all around them, because that's the whole game. The whole game is people are told you're very small and insignificant, and the force of opposition around you is huge and enormous. Does this sound familiar? I'm telling you, it's all a lie. You are an infinitely powerful being. You have infinite power. Use it. There is nothing that you cannot overcome, and there is no external force that is huge and all-powerful that is opposing you. It's all internal. But people are convinced to look externally. Oh, it's this, it's that. Oh, what can I do? And instead, you have to look within and realize, oh, wait, I'm creating these thoughts. I'm creating these self-limiting factors. You labeled it, Joe, in your phrasing, which I liked because it's the way people approach the situation. You said these external forces or external entities. I want to now flip that around and say, no, it's internal limiting factors. What has stopped the infinite power from blossoming within all the people on this planet are internal limiting factors, not external, because there is no external limiting factor that can stop you if you choose to access your infinite power. There's only internal limiting factors, and these are thoughts. And of course, one of the greatest thoughts that confuses people is, oh, it's all beyond me and it's so much bigger than me. That's all baloney. There's nothing beyond you, bigger than you, that you don't have all the help for that you need. I have proof. You're still here. What you need help with is clearing out these internal limiting factors, accessing your own infinite power, and I don't care what's out there in the universe. First of all, there's nothing out there, but even if there was, you'd be able to overcome it with your power. So people need to look within, clean up their minds, realign their internal structure, and realize there is nothing that I can't overcome if I utilize my own power, which is given to me by my own self. I am an infinitely powerful being. There is nothing out there that I can't handle if I use my power properly. But where will you hear these words? Where will you hear people tell you this? Well, thankfully, Joe has these radio shows so that you can hear this information, because you need to spread this information and tell everyone and show everyone, no, don't get caught up in this whole attitude that there's something out there that you need to worry about. It's not out there. It's inside of you. Fix it in you, change your perspective, and you will still do many physical things. You'll still participate in the world. You won't go off and think that you now need to live in an airy-fairy dream. That's not what I'm talking about. You're still doing everything other people are doing, but you're living in a world of beauty and joy because you eliminated all the internal limiting factors preventing you from choosing a life of joy and beauty right now, and then that's what you create for the planet.
Okay. That's an awesome answer. You know, I loved each one of your answers. And again, because of, you know, the words we use and people's perspective, and basically perception with each individual person, I think it's important to say that when we're bridging the gap from the different soul growths and the different awarenesses that are out there, each one of you had your own truth to speak of today, and you're all right. There's not one of you that's wrong, because it depends on the reality that the person is living in and their perception or perspective that they're coming correct with. And Rama, you know, at a higher level of awareness, I can see exactly your perspective, and you're right. If you do go within, and because thought becomes reality, that's true. On another line, or another sense, Laura and Alfred are both right as well, depending on the person's perspective. So to bridge the gap between the lowest, or I don't like to say that, but for sake of conversation, the lowest soul growth to the high soul growth, to try to bridge that gap, everybody that's on this panel today is saying a perfect truth. And it's difficult until you're at a higher perspective to look down as the observer, is the best way that I can say this. So I think you're all right in what you're saying, and it would be difficult to argue each one of your points back and forth, because you're all right, and depending on the reality or the awareness that you hold. Just to take a side note here and to come back to the now, and we're looking into the future, this and that, and about the planet, and what can we do. Have any of you heard of the earthquake that just happened in New Zealand?
And I'll start with, I did. I just heard about it by email.
Okay. Laura, did you hear about it?
Nope.
Alfred?
Well, I'm sure going to Google it right now. I mean,
apparently nobody was killed. Two people were severely injured so far. Right. This is what's been reported. So it's kind of an interesting thing. The thing I got out of it was, gee, an earthquake. Mother Earth is showing her discontent. But at the same time, nobody was killed.
Right.
So this is Mother Earth saying, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. I got kind of like a motherly, loving vibe from it. Like Mother Earth was kind of saying, look, you really need to pay attention to me, but I'm not trying trying to hurt you. I'm trying to get you to listen to me. I got some really good vibes from the whole thing.
That's the best way to tell the difference between Harp and Mother Nature. Mother Nature definitely doesn't tend to kill many when she quakes or adjusts herself, and Harp tends to wipe out populations. I just wanted to say something quick about what Rama said. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just say one thing about the earthquake was a 7.0 magnitude, so it was pretty significant. It wasn't like a 1.2. So when Rama is saying that and Laura is saying that nobody was injured or significantly injured, it gives credence to say what the magnitude was, and it was a 7.0, which is pretty good. So go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's very easy to wander away and be in one's higher bliss and ascend. I mean, that's not the issue. That's not the problem. It's not about beliefs all the time. I mean, I think when I was sharing, I'm talking about just people in general. I'm not really using myself as an example, except I do know that Mother Earth needs our help if we want to, you know, reduce the amount of catastrophe that's going to happen. But I think, you know, I've gotten a lot of confirmation about, you know, my soul growth and where it's at and how clean it is and blah, blah. And I could, you know, say, hey, I'm this and I'm that and that wonderful. And it might sound arrogant, so I'm not even going to go there. But I know that a lot of us who are coming from a higher place can wander off and really live a joyful, blissful, ascended life. The problem is when you're empathic and you see and you travel and you see dirty water, kids aren't able to eat, you hear about kidnappings, abductions, and whistleblowers that are talking about being tortured from the age of infancy. It's not just a belief system. It's not just having silly thoughts that are manifesting and haunting their reality. There is some serious opposition for some people. And I've chosen to not go off into my blissville and be, you know, this being that I could be. I'm using a lot of my life force to help these people out of danger and to help set them free. So I think that Ram's spot on when it comes to us in our daily lives and feeling like victims and complaining, but I think that there is a lot that's oppressing people and making it tough, and as a global family, I think we're called to action to really do something to create justice.
Well, that's great, Laura. One thing I want to respond to that is that I agree with what you're saying again, and I also agree with Rama and Alfred on this, and we all have our own truths, and not one of us is wrong here. But
no,
I really think that depending on the vibrational frequency that you carry and the awareness that you have dictates the perspective of where you're looking at things. In fact, to the point where as your vibrational energies rise, all the things that we consider negativity or opposition kind of fade away. And you become the observer. You're not in such a dire straits, if you will. And you become the observer. You're outside of the paradigm of the physical realm, which many people are at right now. But because this radio show is all about us being the teachers or the way showers, we've experienced everything that everyone else on the planet has experienced. But we've devoted our time and our efforts to going within and raising our awareness. And now we are I think everybody on this panel is at a higher awareness, and depending where you sit yourself is what the perspective you come at. But basically my goal on the show is to bridge the gap. So what I want the listeners to know is that this isn't really an argument between the panelists. I really think that everybody has their own perspective, and the discernment that each individual has is important to go with and say, okay, I agree with Alfred, I agree with Rama, I agree with Laura, or I agree with Joe. Whichever your discernment is, that's who you go with, because that's where you are in soul growth at that particular time. So in an ideal world, ideally, the where we're all heading and what we all want is the greatest good for all that's involved. But there is a gap that's there that we're all talking about. And I want everybody to, you know, pay attention to each individual person that's speaking. And whoever rings the truest to you as a listener, I want you to listen to them so you can raise to that next level. Does any of this ring true to the rest of the panelists?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Joe?
Yes.
I'd like to weigh in on the New Zealand earthquake.
Yes, yes.
Okay, now I'm going to weigh in a different way initially from everybody else, and it's going to seem very strange to a lot of people, what I'm going to say, and really odd. And I had to check two or three times with my guide systems and my, you know, sort of the systems that I use whether to share or not.
Right.
And they said, no, share it.
Awesome.
So I'm going to come out and it's going to be a radically different interpretation from everybody else at some level. Okay.
Cool.
As to the New Zealand earthquake, because I was in touch with New Zealand yesterday in a big way and Australia back and forth. And I'm just looking at the article here, and New Zealand, as you said, it was a magnitude 7.0, and there was a lot of building damage. It was 1 billion, or almost two billion. It says New Zealand has very good building codes compared with Haiti, the Haiti earthquake was a 7.0. There were 200,000 killed. The New Zealand is the same size as Haiti, quote, end of quote, but the damage is so much less. This is a professor of geography. Thank God for earthquake strengthening. So there, you're dealing with a different culture that over the last 10 years did a lot of retrofitting to upgrade against this. And we've done science-based articles and programs that demonstrate that the profile of the Haiti earthquake is the profile of a HARP earthquake, and that there was insider trading prior to and after the Haiti earthquake, both regarding the massive gold deposits under Haiti and petroleum deposits, that those were amongst the targets for the Haiti earthquake. Now, with regard to New Zealand, I just want to point, I don't think that it is necessarily obvious that it's not a HARP hit. And I just want to point out an alternative viewpoint, possibility. It's a possibility. Australia and New Zealand, the people there are very multidimensionally advanced and aware at the people level. And there are researchers in New Zealand and in Australia that routinely are in touch with massive gray motherships that interact with healers, with other personnel, other people in Australia and New Zealand in the life cycle of healing, in the life cycle of soul implantation, where incarnational cycles occur back and forth between Australia and New Zealand and the gray ships, and soul are implanted in operations that take place on the motherships, so that destiny lives are led on the ground that are monitored by the gray ships. So this is like, you know, you talk about God, but this is what's happening. We're just finding all this stuff out. So yesterday I had been over the last 2 weeks negotiating because of the time zones, and because one of the parties was involved in a 7-week documentary around this flying around the world. And finally last night I reached both one of the parties, a researcher in Brisbane, Australia, and a woman, a leader in the extraterrestrial community in New Zealand, who I think I had mentioned before had been taken up into a gray ship, met her son on the gray ship before he was born, was taken up during her pregnancy, had the operation of his soul being implanted in her, in the fetus of the son, and then brought back down, where he's now leading a destiny life as a lawyer in in Auckland, New Zealand. So I had finally set up the interviews for the next couple of weeks. And all of a sudden, boom, this earthquake comes. And I've now been investigating with a team of scientists these earthquakes for about 5 years. And to show you the level of retribution around it, my colleague, Jerry Smith, who wrote the book, Hark, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, which really details how HARP is used to cause earthquakes and at what level the gaming is. 3 months after he appeared on the Governor Jesse Ventura show talking about HARP, he was killed with a fast-acting cancer, and he died 3 months after appearing talking about HARP on Jesse Ventura's show. I say that because this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be in New Orleans, or rather Wednesday, the 8th of September, I'm going to be in New Orleans talking about the BP oil spill on Jesse Ventura's show. So there's a lot of penalty associated with this stuff. And what I've noticed in studying the earthquakes like the China May 2008 earthquake around the Beijing Olympics, the Haiti earthquake around the Vancouver Olympics, is that the dark forces that I'm taking into account, that, well, the dark forces, the dark human elite just needs healing, uses these creation of the seismic events to keep the human spirit down. And so what I was given by my guides was an insight that this may be a HARP event that is connected to lowering the emotional quotient of New Zealand through this earthquake, such that the realization at the collective mind level that there's this deep symbiosis between the soul communities of New Zealand and these gray motherships cannot come to consciousness, and that the forces behind HARP that I've called the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization are doing this consciously. In other words, there is a conscious kind of spiritual battle going on Earth. So I just wanted to offer that other perspective. Now, that goes more into the dualistic reality and against what Rama has just said. But I make a distinction between, if we look at the human community, between the people and a corrupt elite who are running what I call toxic realities, consciously doing so for purposes of psychotic self-gratification.
Joe, I have a nice comment that everybody will like.
Alfred, will you yield the floor to Rama?
I'm through.
Oh, great. Okay. Rama, go ahead.
Yeah, I only spoke because I thought he was done. Alfred, I really, really like what you said about this idea of the people in the New Zealand and Australia area tapping into these higher energies, because New Zealand has always had sort of a magical energy to me whenever I tune into it. And I've had a lot of clients that I've worked with in New Zealand and also friends from New Zealand who just all seem to be dialed into something. And, you know, you mentioned that this event, this earthquake, might have been designed to sort of retard that downloading from these higher planes or from these motherships that you were talking about. And based on my observations right now, tuning into the soul group that you're talking about, I would like to inform you and the others that it's having the opposite effect. The effect of The effect that's occurring is that the world's energies are being drawn, the mind of the world is being drawn to New Zealand, and the people who are on the starships are just drawing them right into the ships and saying, welcome to the party. So whatever the goal was, is having the opposite effect, because what I'm seeing is a massive influx of positive energies as a result of this event. So that's what I'm observing.
Now, Rama, what I want you to discuss right now, because as we discuss these different realities of life on this planet, you just yourself, before this comment, said that there really is no influences from outside sources and stuff, but now you want to tap into this energy of this awareness, of this other reality. So right there, it proves to me that what I said was correct, that we all have different perspectives, different realities that we're all living in at different soul growths. So that was a perfect illustration of exactly that. And you yourself are tuned into the various realities, are you not?
Well, can I comment on that? Because that actually ties into what Laura said in a good way. So I said this whole thing about we can all live in a joyful, wonderful world. And Laura said, yes, but we cannot be airy-fairy. We have to see the world that's in front of us and take care of the people around us. And somebody's water's dirty, we have to clean it. Someone's being abused, we have to help them. I'm not denying those facts. I'm saying there's a way we can help without acknowledging the very reality we're trying to help other people out of. So I'm suggesting that there's something in between living in an airy-fairy bubble where you only see goodness, where you literally are airy-fairy, and being stuck in the only seeing the problems of the world. I'm suggesting there's something right in between where you see beauty and joy and harmony, and you create it around you. Think of it this way. Imagine you were trying to solve a puzzle where if you could see both sides, you would see a lot of trauma, pain, sickness, and sadness, and you would see a lot of joy, beauty, and harmony. And this would be like both parts of the puzzle, and you were trying to fix the puzzle and put it back together to create harmony and wholeness. Well, I'm suggesting that you can choose to see only the joy, beauty, and harmony side of the puzzle and just complete the pattern. In other words, you see points where the joy stops all of a sudden and you extend it further. You create more of it. You see parts where there's two sections of joy that haven't quite met, a boy and a girl or two people or families or nations, and you want to bring them together. You can choose to see only joy and beauty and still solve the problems of the world. I have not acknowledged a reality that I don't approve of when I made my statements about New Zealand. All I said is that I saw lots of wonderful things happening as a result of the event. I didn't say I agreed exactly with the fact that it was created by some non-positive force. I just said whatever caused this event has resulted in a very wonderful thing that is the opposite of what Alfred said the intent was. I was acknowledging Alfred's perspective, but then saying whatever the perceived goal was, all that's happened is something wonderful and joyful, and that is what I'm perceiving. This isn't my choice to just sort of pretend, but I am seeing lots of positive things happening in the physical dimension of New Zealand and in the higher planes. But I, again, remember my illustration of the puzzle. I'm choosing to see the beautiful parts of the puzzle and reconnect the whole pattern to make a whole structure. Where there's parts of joy and beauty missing, I want to put it in place. Where there's incompleteness, I want to put it in place. I've been working to help this planet since I got here and long before this life. Of course I know what's going on this planet, Joe. And everybody else, of course I know that. But I'm choosing to see the joy and beauty because otherwise I can't help, because I would get lost in those reality zones where there is no solution. I want to stay in solution consciousness and see the joy and the beauty. And plus, that's the world that I want to live in. But I can still solve all the problems. I can still solve all the problems, but only see joy and beauty the whole time. I'm suggesting there is, in fact, a way to heal without experiencing the state of consciousness of the person that you're trying to heal, if they're in a state of consciousness to which you cannot reach, because the goal is common to all beings. The goal, the destination is similar. We want joy, harmony, beauty, love, happiness, wholeness, health, and wonderment. That's what we all want in some way or another. Some people don't think they want it, but they want what they think they want. But what they think they want, they think is going to give them a sense of wholeness and completeness. Everybody, in my experience, if they exist, least wants some degree of fulfillment and wholeness. Since the goal is the same, I can help them get there, and I don't have to know where they're at. Precisely, I don't have to dwell in the muck with them, so to say. Not saying that I'm above anyone, I'm just saying if you're trying to help someone who's in incredible pain, you don't have to feel all their pain to help them. You have to feel the joy that you want to give to them. That is a very big difference. You do not have to be empathic in a painful way. You can experience the joy, and then you can bring them that joy. And then you never experience their pain. All you see and all you present to them is the solution, and that's what you bring to them. So there is a way to do both. There is a way, as you're speaking of many different perspectives and realities. I'm suggesting there is a way to bridge the gap between these radically different realities, these radically different perspectives. There is a way to bridge the gap without having to choose one or the other.
That's exactly what I was, that's pretty much what I said, Rama. This isn't really your lesson or anybody on this panel's lesson. Whenever I speak, it's more of a lesson to the listeners. And as I say, I really think that you have to understand and speak to the people of what they know and where they're at in their awareness and their soul growth in order to bridge this gap that we're talking about. And that's what I said earlier about raising your vibrational frequency and your awareness, where you become the observer. So you don't have to perceive things as chaos and poverty and starvation. You can be in a frame of mind, if you will, in 3D, that you become the observer, and the things that don't suit you anymore just kind of fall away or they disappear. But yet, if you want to be here with the intent to help others, you have to know what their perspective is so that you can speak to them in a way that raises their awareness, and you don't give them too much information, but then again, you got to give them enough information so they can raise to that next level of awareness. So some of the people that are listening are at various soul growths. So the lesson here is for those who are at a lower vibrational frequency and energy and awareness, but yet everybody that's on this panel, I think, that are at a higher awareness, as I said, that we've worked on going within, and it's pretty difficult to try to generalize and speak in one fashion without discussing all the variables and all the complexities of the opposing forces and, et cetera. Laura, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that's all I was trying to point out. It had nothing to do with arguing anybody's point. It was just to add to what he said, which is that some people do get caught in the trap where, as much as they want to just exist in the joy and the bliss, they feel compelled to do more. And as somebody who does energy work on people, I always encourage one to not heal from the second chakra, not heal from the place of empathy so much. I mean, it's important to tap into that and then raise it to an awareness that you can handle it without draining yourself, without taking it on, without healing it through your own body. I think, you know, some people who I call out of control healers when I read them because they absorb it all. I used to do that. It's kind of productive because you end up losing your vibration, which is completely necessary for the greater good. I mean, if we were to lower our vibrations just to be in the muck with everybody, that wouldn't do any good. But the fact that we know that it's going on and there's a lot of injustice, a lot of helpless people out there, as a global family, we're called to act. And at times it can be draining, at times it can overwhelm us. And, you know, it's important to check back and recenter, reground, and realize that the most important thing that we can do is to master our bliss body and step into that fully while being able to participate and to help. So I was only appreciating what he said, adding to the fact that we do fall into that pit where, you know, the vibration can lower when we're confronting, you know, different things. We all signed up for different roles and different experiences, and some of us find ourselves, you know, dealing with situations that call us to compromise some of our higher states of consciousness and bliss. Not necessarily consciousness, but perhaps the bliss. And that's, you know, something that we have to work on every day because of, you know, compassion and empathy. But it's certainly not advisable. But I was just saying that that can be a force that does bring us down. But if we can use it as a tool to trigger us into getting back to that higher sphere to promote the positive timeline and to bring the good news, like Alfred says, and I completely agree with, we have good news to share. This is good news. This is not about let's all be depressed and feel the pain of the world. This is like, This is about telling the pain in the world, check it out. Here's the antidote. Step over to this sphere of perception and awareness, and it'll start to undo the physical world and the grip of gravity that it has on one's particular life.
Awesome. Okay. We talked about the global healing as far as Mother Earth healing herself and the humans on this planet that could make a change with intent and by coming together. So, what could each individual do to help themselves to contribute to helping the whole world? Now, Rama, I know you spoke about this a little bit, and I'm not sure if Laura or Alfred did, but Alfred, I'm going to yield the floor to you to speak of this. What could each individual do themselves to help out with, because like Rama said, I think this was you, Rama, that said that some people out there feel that, what can I do? Because you got this rhetoric out there that says you're nothing and you can't do anything by yourself. What could an individual do to help themselves in this situation, Alfred?
Well, I think that the whole theme of what we're talking about today is raising your frequency. And it's, thank you, Joe, it's such a good segue, I can't resist. That I'm here looking at my smartphone, and you know, it just came in a comment from ExoPolitics TV on a video that anybody here listening can go to on YouTube. Just go to exopolitics.com, called Raising Your Frequency with Joe Mara and Alfred Weber. I'm just going to read this. Thank you so much for posting this beautiful video. This meditation is great. I felt how a white and brilliant energy got into the crown of my head, and then it went down and down, and then my heart. I felt how the energy filled my heart, and I saw like some smoke coming out of it, and I burst into tears of emotion. I felt loved, completely loved. God bless you. Love and light for you all. So it's as simple as going up on YouTube and participating in the tools that now, you know, are available, like these videos that the members of this panel are producing. And you know, I think now what we're going to do a 14-week semester course, right?
Right. And we just did one here tonight, right before this show. Alfred and I came together to do this, and we're in this co-creation thing. And one thing that's important, since we're in the topic, is that Alfred suggested that I listen to my own voice as we co-created the second video, because I said, you know, I'm feeling really drained this week after. And that's not me. I get up, I go to the gym, I work till 4:30, 5 o'clock, sometimes a little later. But I think it's the Mercury retrograde and what's going on with the world. And one other thing, Rama, you could probably speak of this, is one of my friends, Terry, her friend, mentioned that the reason we're feeling so wiped out is because it's not just what we're physically doing here, but our higher self, how busy we are, and all the other dimensions that we are. And I never even thought of that concept, but I thought, oh, maybe that's what's going on here. But, you know, Alfred suggested I listen to that, and I, of course, my ego got involved and says, wow, you know, I'll probably be, you know, saying, well, I should have said this, or I should have said that during this video. But instead, of course, I laid there, I put my headphones on, I listened to both videos, I felt the energy is going down over top of me and cleansing me the first video, but the second video was more intense and more powerful with the vibrational frequency increase, and to the point where it felt like my bed was shaking, my whole body was shaking towards the end, which, of course, it doesn't scare me. I wasn't in fear of it. It was an awesome feeling. I was actually in awe when I was done with it, and so that, of course, I had to thank Alfred for suggesting it, because I never would have thought of it. It wasn't me that did the healing. I was just the channel that channeled the energy and the words so everybody else on the planet could benefit from this. But because he suggested it, now I had to humble myself and my ego to say, wow, I actually can benefit from this, these videos as well, because all I am is the channel or the tool to channel this energy out there to the public. And when I was done, I was refreshed and I was energized and I felt great. So yeah, I would absolutely suggest to all the listeners to this show of this show to either get on YouTube and look up Alfred or my name, or go to ExoPolitics. And I'm not sure if Rama or Laura, if you got to experience the healings that we did or not.
Laura, do you want to go first?
Yes, I did. I did. I got in a really relaxed state, and it just was right on and really good and really important. And I got a lot of really good feedback, about 50 thumbs up on one of my pages. And, you know, it's just like that time needs to be taken out in a day, because I think every day it just kind of challenges us energetically. And, you know, just like we eat food when we're hungry, we need to maintain our energy field when it feels depleted, when we feel stressed out. And, you know, sleep isn't enough, because, you know, the astral plane is not necessarily filled with the greatest experiences. And that's why the yogins, particularly the Kundalini yoga practice, wake up at 4 a.m. and begin their meditation and their chanting and all that stuff, because that's the time where the energies are most clear and that one can really focus their dream world into the physical world. So I just find that what that was such a great tool, you know, for those that just want to get in that zone without going through the big time discipline of yoga or anything else. It's just to do that Reiki and energy healing is tremendous. So I totally appreciate it. I've done Reiki before. I'm certified in some levels of Reiki. I still have more to go. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I sent you, I think I Skyped you when I was done.
Yeah, I just wanted you to, for the sake of the listeners, to, and then, wow, thank you for that, Laura. Rama, I don't know if you got the chance to experience that or not.
Yeah, I sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I have other ways of analyzing things, and I tuned into the vibrations of the video and everything that you were doing, and as I've always noticed with you, Joe, in particular, I'm not just saying this to you because you're the host of the show, you have very wonderful and unique healing energy, because you manage to basically to acknowledge other people's perspectives, but have your own. So you have your own truth, you have your own ray and your own connection. You like what many people say, you may draw inspiration from things different people say, but you always have your own wisdom and your own perspective. And so there's a very powerful conduit that you are, that you're connected to. And really you say, I'm just the channel, but I would like to suggest that you're being the channel of your own higher self. So maybe you're channeling something, but you're channeling you, and that's why it's so powerful, because you're not thinking about somebody else. You just do it. And so I'm very impressed with your healing power, and I look forward to seeing what additional forms of healing work you choose to do.
Well, thank you. Okay. Well, this is a little bit humbling, so now I'm kind of speechless, but let me see if I can go on here. Let's see. Okay, this kind of goes into what we're talking about here. Do you think that living your truth, each individual, we're speaking about our truth, do you think by living your truth, each individual, or being the example, helps other people that are listening or that are out there that come in contact with you, does it help them transcend just by you living your own truth and being the example, instead of maybe being a hypocrite per se? Laura?
Yeah, you got to walk the walk or talk the walk you talk and walk. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, I started a page, and I know it's just Facebook. People just click on and that's all they have to do to participate. But I get so much incredible feedback. Everything that I post really comes from my heart. It's really, you know, I'm just very honest about, you know, what I deal with, what I see and what I experience and what I'm about and what I see in others and what I feel we need to awaken to and the lightness and the unity that is shared. And, I mean, I live in my truth, and people, you know, somebody called me the other day who's writing a book and compared my story to David and Goliath. They said, you have no real army. And I said, well, no, I got Alfred and Andy, and I got Joe, and I've got Rama. You know, to me, that's a huge army, because one person can be so expansive and amazing to one's life that I didn't quite understand what he was saying, but because he's more of a mainstream person, he was just like, I read your story, and he's like, I can't believe it. He's like, you know, first of all, you don't have a lot of money. You basically do this for free. And nobody else in your family is speaking out. No presidential descendant really has the guts to, you know, expose these kind of truths. And you know, you're so courageous, blah, 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 you know, giving me all these compliments. And of course, I'm humble like you, Joe. And I'm like, oh gosh, thank you. But so, I mean, my truth is that I live for integrity, honesty, divinity, the sacredness of life, sacred union, and all these things. And they're my everything. And anything else that comes at me, whether somebody's trying to control me or really pollute that world, I have an extreme reaction to. I try and do it in the most loving way. I try and just express myself and just say, you know, this is my boundary. That's just not going to fly. And here's another perspective. And this is what's going on. And so I really do live in my truth. And I always have since I was little. No matter what I've been dragged through, I've stayed true to it. And for many lifetimes, or else I wouldn't be here today and I wouldn't have survived. And I definitely know that it inspires people. And people tell me that I've changed their lives. The people who I read and give readings to always email me afterwards. And major transformations happen. So, and most of the time I'm just showing them what they're showing me, but they're not able to see. So it's not like I'm doing some magic for them. I'm just showing them something they're struggling with because, you know, they're just not able to observe themselves. They're not able to be the observer. I am for them. So yeah, I mean, I think that's the greatest thing that we can do when we become the agents of change, of divine will, and of this global healing, that it inspires others to get out of their doom and gloom because, you know, we could all find something to be in doom and gloom about, and we've all been through situations that have tested our survival and ability to step back up and bounce back. I mean, my God, I certainly have in ways that are so horrendous I don't even want to tell the stories. But it doesn't matter because my truth is like, it's just like one of those things. It just reinflates me, and I bounce back, and it's like I let go, I forgive, and I keep on going, and I stick with my truth. I don't fear the death threats. I don't fear anything. And because I know that this is just a vehicle, and as long as I'm not controlled, I'm okay, whether my physical body's here or not, because I'll just make a new one or I'll just, you know, visit in other ways. So I think it's crucial that we live our truth and that we express it to others. It's much better than telling them how to think and how to be. It's much better that we just live the example because we're each unique. We can't tell anybody else what to do, but we can certainly help them become the best people that they can be.
Awesome. So if you consider the fact that we are all mirror images of each other, I mean, that would explain a lot. Just by living your truth, you can help somebody else see themselves. So before I ask you, Alfred, one thing I want to say is as I'm watching the globe, and just to the listeners, of course, this is not a live show that we'll be broadcasting due to some scheduling things for some of us. We come together here just to make sure that this important work gets out there. So we're sacrificing some of our personal time to make this happen, of course. And the one thing that I'm noticing is while we're on here speaking, and if this is a Saturday we're recording this, the way energy works and the way I look at energy is we're coming together to create this thing. And although this isn't live and nobody's tuning in, I'm watching this globe here, and we just had 5 different countries on at one time clicking on my website. Now, does that mean that because we're doing this right now, they're clicking on? I don't know. The way energy and frequency works, to me, I'm thinking, what if? But it's odd to me that as we're doing this, because I look at the globe all the time while I'm on the internet, and it just seems like when we're on, a lot of people are also tuning into this website just to see what we have to say. And although this isn't live and it's not being broadcast, there's a lot of people all over the world tuning in at this time, probably listen to other events. But I wonder if because we're recording this and we're co-creating this to put on that site, if people were tuning in at this particular time. I don't know, but what if? So anyway, sorry about went on that tangent there, Alfred, but what do you think about living your truth and as far as helping other people transcend?
Yeah. Well, you know, to thine own self be true. That has kind of been one of the truths by which I've led my life. And I find that there is an interaction, a positive reinforcement mechanism between living my truth and accessing my full potential self. In other words, I discovered my truth and discovered more and more of my truth, but I discovered the essence of my truth when it was revealed to me 40 years ago by a very huge, I don't know, by a divine being, you know, it was like revealed. And so then it became I mean, so I knew what my truth was. I mean, revelations are weird, and you know, and people can say, well, that was your higher self revealing your truth to you. Okay, well, I can see it that way too. And then over the past 40 years, I've been like accessing my higher potential self to encompass my truth. I don't know if I'm expressing it, but so that there's this interactive process so that one can reach one's full potential in manifesting one's truth, which then manifests the world and the reality that one wants to live in, which is the reality of truth, beauty, and justice.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, as I'm sitting here just listening to exactly what you're saying, I'm playing over in my mind the different realities of life and the perspective that one holds, and that's what we've been talking about this entire time. Although, you know, the title of the show was Global Healing, by having these other awarenesses, it helps to create a knowledge or an awareness to get to the point where you can heal yourself and help others all around you. So, Rama, what do you think about living your truth and your transcendence and other people's, I guess, transcendence?
Well, the original question was, if you do it yourself, do you affect other people, right? And I'm not exactly convinced, based on my experience, that that's always true, that you affect other people when you live your truth. Some people who are receptive are affected. Other people don't notice you at all, and other people don't like it.
Well, okay, so what if they don't even notice you? Just by virtue of the energy you carry and by the awareness that you have, do you think that makes a difference, even if you're not aware of it? Because we perceive things with five senses, but there's other things going on out there, like yourself. You have this higher awareness, and by virtue of that, I know that you have a higher vibrational frequency that you carry. So when you come into contact with other people, even though they don't recognize you as a higher aware being, by virtue of the energy you carry, don't you feel that you affect that person, even if they don't recognize it?
Well, here's what I generally notice when I go out in public. I have a very easy time getting along with anyone. I just make friends very easily with people out on the street and in stores and everywhere I go. And, you know, I just try to be helpful to everybody, and they always love it, you know? Like, just today, some person was... They so wanted to ask me for help, but I could tell they were kind of nervous because I was a stranger. And I was getting into my car, and I just kind of walked really slowly because I could tell they were trying to work up the courage to ask me, but I didn't know what they wanted, but I knew they wanted something. So I just kind of walked slowly and tried to look really nice and friendly because I knew they wanted, but they were just having trouble overcoming their personal concern. And then they finally did it, and I gave them directions, and they were so happy. And then their partner asked me some various questions about the area because they wanted to live there. And, you know, but, you know, they were not used to just, oh, can I open up to this person? Can I even ask them for directions? Such a simple thing. So I find that where what you're saying manifests is in all the simple things. People can ask me questions. People feel comfortable around me. They feel comfortable sharing things about their life with me. People are just happy when I'm around, and I'm happy to see them. And I always ask people about themselves because I know that they get so little opportunity to talk about themselves. It's good to give them a chance to really share some of their being with someone else. So, you know, it just manifests in very simple things, and it's very entertaining. I very much enjoy interacting with people, and I learn a lot from other people. If nothing else, I learn a lot about them, but very often what they've learned and experienced in life then benefits me in some way, or enhances my own understanding about some topic. So I don't find that people are suddenly mind-blowingly awakened and their crown chakra activates and they connect to their God self and they're like, oh my God, I get it, Rama, thank you. No. I just find like they're happy, they're comfortable, they like seeing me. You know, it's just simple stuff, you know? And so I don't think we need to be caught up in this consciousness of I'm an I am a prophet avatar. I have to save the world, save the people. I think if you just be yourself and do your own thing, if you're having fun, people around you will be having fun. And it's not very much fun to think that you have to save the world all by yourself. It's a lot of fun to be happy. And then I find that people benefit. And so you're sort of suggesting that, oh, people benefit without knowing. They benefit to some degree without being fully aware of it. And that is true. They do benefit, their body benefits in ways they're not consciously aware of. My body, I've focused on it quite a bit. And so physically, physiologically, I'm radiating certain things into the atmosphere around me that do benefit other people's bodies without their awareness. But I'm not really worried about any of that. They'll get whatever they want. They won't get whatever they don't want. I'm not trying to change them. I'm just happy to be me, and I know they'll benefit to the degree of the receptivity. So I just go with the flow. I don't plan what I'm going to say. I don't try to act in certain ways or wave at certain people or anything. I just go with the flow, and people will show to me what they're interested in resonating with and what they're not. And then nobody ever bothers me about anything. I never have any problems with anyone. Nobody wants to mess with me personally. First of all, because in the higher planes, people know not to mess with me because I'm here to do good and heal the world, and nobody wants to mess with an angel of God like you, Joe, and like me, and like Laura, and like Alfred. You know, no one wants to mess with us because upstairs we are very powerful looking creatures. But in the physical, people just, they're nice, they're happy, I have fun with them, and by and large, not much transpires in my day-to-day interactions. It's via the internet, it's when people are specifically seeking this information that they then find me and they get a lot more of what I wish to share with them because they ask for it.
Right. Okay. So I like to talk about self-help a lot because we've talked about, you know, the global healing, and Ram, I believe you said that you have to go within first and heal yourself before you can really go out there and manifest and help those around you or the planet for that matter. So what can the listeners start doing now to help in their journey and to be more at peace with themselves due to the current events such as earthquakes or hurricanes and stuff like that? And I'm going to start with Laura.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like there's resources everywhere to tap into that are filled with revelations, miracles, bliss, and it's always there. It's just a matter of attuning to it and connecting oneself to it in the face of any sort of adversity. I've been lucky enough to have nothing but catastrophes happen in my life, so I've become kind of a master of disaster, and it doesn't really faze me. It's just like, oh, okay, you know, everything's lost, everything's gone, and I'm okay. It doesn't matter. You can take a homeless man, and I use this metaphor a lot. I probably used it on the show, but he could be drunk and miserable and a victim and just completely unhealthy and just living there begging the world to help him, feeling that he's just, everything's just shit on him. And then, you know, you could see the same person in a similar situation sitting on the corner, completely immersed in light, in a meditative state, just totally in bliss, with no belongings and nothing, doesn't know what tomorrow will bring, but is completely emanating one's divine nature. And so we have that choice, regardless of what's going on around us. We have to stop defining ourselves by the physical world and start defining ourselves by who we are inside and let the flow just happen, because when we're in the flow of who we truly are, we're going to be taken care of. There's always something. And I was kind of homeless for a while. I lived out of vehicles. I lived in a school bus. And, you know, I would pull money out of the grass and I would find a way to eat, and I never begged once. And that was something I did on and off for 10 years. So, you know, I know what it's like. I've been there. Everything's been taken from me. I've lost everything. I've had mates turn on me. And it's like, you know, I still know how to access that place. And so I encourage people, no matter what's going on in your life, don't define yourself by it. Define yourself by who you are inside, because that joy and that bliss trumps everything. It ends up waking the things up that are trying to harm you and ends up, you know, almost pissing off the forces that want to defeat you. And it actually does something healing for the planet to show them that nothing can defeat you or take you down. And when you're willing to show that, then you can recognize maybe you were born to be a warrior, and maybe you were born to teach it that it has no power and only you do and your divine self does. And to look at it like that instead of feeling like a victim or down and out, because that's a lie.
Awesome. Okay, Alfred.
You know, I was so wrapped up in what Laura was saying that you'll have to repeat the question. I'm sorry.
No, you know what? I was wrapped up in it too, because I started to relive some of my life my past yeah. life here. I'm thinking, you know, my neighbor, it was to the point where every day they would call me to ask me what happened to me that day, because so many things of misfortune happened to me in the first half of my life. It became a joke, and I just accepted it and laughed at it. I mean, to the point where, like, how many people do you know are driving down a country road and a tree falls in front of them and they jump it with their car? Or how many people are driving down the road and a cow runs in front of them and you hit a cow and it runs and it comes up over your car and you hit it, you break its leg, and then you get out of the car and it chases you down and almost kills you? I mean, so many. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh, I could go on. I'm telling you, every day something like this happened to me for the first half of my life. And I get to the point where it was a joke. It was my best friend's dad had leukemia and he was dying. And, you know, it was that part wasn't comical. But when we met at this intersection crossing, he looks down out of his van, and I'm in my car sitting there shaking, and he looks down, and he was bummed out because he was dying, and all of a sudden I looked up at him, and he says, "What's up, buddy?" And I said, "You ain't gonna believe this," and he got the biggest smile on his face. It made his day to just ask me, "Oh my God, what happened to you today?" And that's the day I just jumped the tree with my car. So of course we had to fly up there and look at this tree that I just jumped, and the skid marks, and the bark off the tree, and my car, and, you know. What was interesting to me was my misfortune made his day, which made me happy. So I started looking at things in a different manner. And from you saying that, Laura, that struck me as, wow, yeah, you know what? I have had these crazy experiences that now I can have a different perspective on misfortune and look at it and just shake my head and laugh and go, why? But now I'm in a different place, so thank God for that. I don't want to, or thank the universe, I don't want to attract any of that anymore. So anyway, Alfred, the question was, what can the listeners do starting today to help them with their peace of mind with the current events such as hurricanes and to look at things in a better perspective so it's not so, you know, they're not having such a hardship?
Wow. Well, I, you know, that's a very deep question. I mean, it really comes down to a personal decision, I think.
Choice?
And kind of, yeah, a personal choice as to why you're on the planet and what you identify with. You know, what do you identify with? Do you identify with being a soul that's here to help the planet? Do you identify with being a particular nationality? Are you conscious of a mission of why you're here? Are you just part of the matrix and, you know, in a career? Are you, you know, following on a despair path and caught up in one of those despair things? Are you into self-gratification? I mean, it's all about consciousness. And whether or not there's a hurricane coming on and whether or not it's a real hurricane or it's been steered, and, you know, we all have, we've had hurricanes since we've had a planet. So this is a place that we come as a classroom. So there's always going to be hurricanes. There's always going to be forest fires. There's always going to be this. And as, you know, as we get more balanced, we'll have more of a paradise-like a school. You know, like we're going to have a different type of a school now in this next cycle than we've had in the last cycle. So I think that the primary thing is to become conscious that we're in a school and what type of school it is. And because an individual hurricane, if you're at effect of mainstream TV that you just turned on the TV or that's what the headline says, well then that is not a way to do it, because the headlines and the news make their profits on duality and setting up differences and emphasizing differences and struggles and wants and dangers. So that's not a good place to look to find orientation and meaning. And I mean, I grew up in a hurricane culture in the island of Cuba, and hurricanes were great because that's when everybody got together. Somebody's house would be designated as the hurricane house, and they would make a big pot of rice and beans, and everybody got together, and we all had a party while the hurricane came through.
That's an awesome perspective. Like,
hurricanes were when the real parties happened. So it's just totally different.
So that's exactly what I'm talking about. So even in the midst of a hurricane, your perspective was such that it was actually more of a party perspective than doom and gloom. So
and it's when real community happened, because people got together. You know, this family would say, "Well, I'm going to make a big rice and beans," and you know, the other families and everything, so it was like when the community came together, and even all the times that I've lived in hurricane alleys, it's kind of been like that hurricanes were something that I really welcome, because it's like when people got together and when you really got to feel nature.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We have about 7 minutes left here. So, Rama, would you like to respond to that? What could people start doing now to help their journey and maybe live in more of a peaceful perspective in regards to the current events that are happening all around them?
Well, this actually leads into what I was talking about earlier, where there's a way to see everything in your life in a positive and beautiful context. And I love the hurricane example, you know, because I've noticed that myself, that adversity or so-called adversity tends to draw people together. So, you know, in any situation, you can find the thread of goodness, the thread of beauty and joy, and just follow that pathway, because it always exists, because it's part of reality itself. So in every situation in life, find the beautiful solution. Focus on solution consciousness. What can I do right now to create something beautiful for myself or for everyone around me? You know, there's someone's yelling at you, they're upset about something, and I'll say to them, "Hey, I love the shirt you're wearing. I'm not kidding, I've done that. It's worked very well." You know, "Oh, I like the color of your shirt." And they're in mid-sense, like, "Wait, what? Huh?" It just kind of breaks their mood. And then they're like, "What did you just say?" I'm like, "Yeah, I like your shirt." And then, you know, or like someone's arguing at someone else, and then I'll run in and pretend to be all agitated about something to get everyone's attention, and then I'll change everyone's mood. Or there doesn't have to be something necessarily that dramatically going wrong. Like one example I liked, actually an example I haven't told very often, is I had to get my car oil changed, and I was in the oil changing place, and I had just bought a bunch of oranges, and I started handing out oranges to all the people in the oil place, and the owner of the store really liked the fact that I was doing that, because it made everyone who was waiting in his office very happy, and he was obviously the owner of the shop, and then he wanted one, and his wife wanted one. I said, "Does your partner want one?" Because I had met his partner earlier. But then the next time I needed my oil, I needed something fixed for my car, he did it for me for free.
Awesome.
Because he liked me, you know. So if you just go around having fun and just finding something fun to do, like I liked handing out the oranges, it was no loss to me to give people the oranges. You know, you should always keep that in mind too. You don't overextend yourself. You follow the real pathway of beauty. It was fun for me. I had fun doing it. It was no loss to me. A few oranges, I bought like 30.
Awesome.
Because I ate a lot of raw food. It didn't really matter. So just find the joyful context for anything. And so I love Alfred's example. In that context. And Joe, I just wanted to comment on the cow situation. I hope you didn't mind laughing. Actually, what I was thinking to myself was, since I've met Joe in person, I was imagining a three-legged cow, or a cow with only three functional legs, trying to take down Joe. And I'm like, "Oh, you poor cow. Joe's going to take you down, because Joe's a really buff guy, you know. You got to watch out. Don't mess with Joe." So I was actually laughing, because I couldn't imagine what the cow thought it could possibly accomplish going up against Joe, especially with only three legs.
Well, it was like something out of a movie, let me tell you. It was at dusk, and that thing only had three functional legs, two in the front, one in the back, and all of a sudden, his front left paw kind of pawed the ground, and it was cold enough out that when he snorted, the steam blew out of his nose, and I thought, oh my God. And I started running, and all of a sudden I could hear the clippity-clop behind me, and he about took me out. So, I mean, you got to figure, that animal was a bull, and he was probably close to 2,000 pounds. He's probably somewhere between, well, maybe he was about 1,200 to 1,400 pounds, I'd say. And so that coming out of a 200-pound man is pretty challenging, I guess you could say.
I don't know, Joe. I bet you could have done it. You could have used his weight against him. You could have used his momentum against him somehow. So I will retain great confidence in your physical abilities.
Well, thank you. Okay, we got 3 minutes left, and I'm going to give you guys each 30 seconds. This is an awesome show, man. We really brought out a lot in each other. And is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners? And Laura, do you want to go first?
Well, I'm just inspired to just tell everybody. I mean, it is fun. We're on an adventure.
We're
in a story, and, you know, it's up to us to be the readers of it and to use adversity as a way to create incredible transformation of consciousness so that we can rise above it and recognize a deeper reality that adversity wants to remind us of by challenging us.
Awesome. Alfred?
Well, yeah, and just building on what Laura just said, and that is that it is highly probable that the next 2 or 3 years are just going to be the most incredible journey of change and transformation and blossoming into a whole new reality, and to just really enjoy and participate and just fully embrace this, because it's a great gift that is being given to us.
Awesome. Rama, you get to close the show today.
Okay, well, I had fun. Although the audience hasn't actually heard this yet, I can tune in and see how they're going to react, and I felt them in a way sort of in the future, so I appreciate their energies and their listening to this recording and this information, and it was a lot of fun, and I do think it all comes back to our own personal healing, and that's what that's the only thing we really have control over. So you don't really have to worry about all the factors in the world. You don't have to worry about what everyone else is experiencing. There's only one factor you can control, which is your own behavior. So develop yourself. That's the only thing you can effectively do, in my opinion. And so for more information about how to do that in the system that I use, you can visit evernewjoy.com, evernewjoy.com. Again, my point is develop yourself, because that's the only thing you can do, but you'll be amazed at how you change the world just by developing yourself. And I agree with Alfred. Lots of things are coming our way, lots of very fun and exciting things. So develop yourself, and you'll be having, it'll be like that hurricane season in Cuba. You'll be having a huge party in the midst of this whirlwind of change.
Awesome. Alfred, could you want to give your website?
Yes, it's exopolitics.com.
Awesome. Laura?
My website?
Yes.
CosmicGaia2012.com.
Awesome. All right, I want to thank you all for being on the show.
Yeah, have a great day. Okay. Watch out for, are you driving? Watch out for cows.
Oh, God, I'm telling you. That was years ago, buddy. I'm not attracting that kind of stuff anymore. I think I had to live something out in a karmic cow thing. So, oh, God.
Glad you made it.
Yeah. So, of course, we'll be back next week for another 2-hour discussion. To all my guests, please hang on the line here for a second. Our next guest will be Dr. Nicholas Martin. And we will be discussing the evolution of human consciousness and a healthy ego. Thank you all for tuning into our show. If you like the show, dislike the show, any other questions or suggestions of content for future shows, email me at universaltalking@gmail.com. Or if you missed the show and would like to listen to the content or would like to refer a friend, simply log on to my website at www.universaltalk.info. And this is Joe Mara signing off for Universal Talk.